Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It is Monday, July 10th, and it is good day to be podcasting. We're excited about it. We've got a week of in the hundreds here in Texas. I don't know about where you're at. I hope the hot dog days of summer are upon us. It was gorgeous last week, but this week we're going back into the triple digits. So anyway, thankfully not up in New York. They're dealing with so much rain. My gosh, you see the weather report, 7 inches in 3 hours. And it's causing some unbelievable flooding. So anyway, it's good to have you here with us, everybody. Again, this podcast is created by Mortgage Professionals. Great. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. We got a lot of information today. You guys have a good 4th of July. Hope you did. Yeah, we did. So anyway, hopefully I'm hearing rumors that I am breaking up a bit. So I apologize if my audio, don't know what's going on, what's happening there. But if it is, I apologize to those of you who are listening. We have Candor Technologies is one of our sponsors. Grateful to have them. Listen to the interview that we did with Ed on May 26th. Also, Finatra does a great job with their product, their products and suite of services to the mortgage industry and also to the financial industry, financial institutions, part of the business, credit unions, banks is where they're heavily involved. We're doing a webinar with them this coming Wednesday, big webinar doing with the American Bankers Association. Be sure to plug into that. If you need to get a link to that, let me know. I'll see if we can't get you registered and a part of that. Also, just so excited about the partnership with all of our sponsors. Total Expert is definitely one of those. They had an amazing conference at in San Diego. I'm still talking about it. We still have a number of guests coming up that we're going to be releasing podcasts for people that I met. We interviewed while at the conference, and some were interviewing after the conference. You're going to be really enjoy that. Listen to the interview that we did with Joe Wellu on March 15th. Also, our newest sponsor, Byte Software. So excited to have Byte Software here with us. It's a powerful enterprise LOS system that delivers total control over your loan origination process and gives you the freedom to do the business the way you want. A number of our clients that have Byte Software as their primary LOS, they're all large companies too. So people say, well, is it going to be as big as that other company, Brand X? Yeah, it is. And it's promoting. I mean, it's really doing a great job of working with some rather large companies. So you're in their new, not too small or not too large. But if you're trying to control cost, man, you've got to consider Byte Software. So check them out. Also, Simple Nexus, thank you for the partnership that they have with us. Also grateful for Mortgage Bankers Association of America, as well as Lenders One, the co-op Lenders One, as well as the Mortgage Collaborative. Really excited. I'm going to be recording an interview with Melissa Langford here this afternoon. We'll be airing with you all, and you're going to enjoy that interview. She is just one of the bright up-and-comers. Way to go, Kittle, for getting a winner in there as a leader of the Mortgage Collaborative. Very excited about it. Also, Mortgage Knowledge Coop. A Knowledge Coop is a great learning management system, and as well as Mobility MMI and Modex, both of these companies you're serving or wanting to serve. I think you can use this as business intelligence. Both these softwares as business intelligence. It's software, it's technology. It's more, it's online hosted technology where you can get business intelligence about the markets you're in, as well as the markets you should be going into. Also, mortgage advisory tools. Very good stuff. Past podcasts, well, one that we released this week, we reviewed David Hopper, is the chairman of the board of Leader One Financial. The topic was the mortgage industry culture and mindset in the present market. Getting a lot of downloads and listens. Very excited about that. We're going to be interviewing Bill Cosgrove next week and releasing that in an upcoming interview in another time. And it's Langdale. Thank you, Mr. Kittle. Why did I get Langford in there? I don't know where I got that. Anyway, Langdale. David Kittle. Well, it had helped to get the name right, I guess. Anyway, Alyssa is a delightful person. Anyway, then also, but Alice and I will be interviewing Mark, and Alice and I will be interviewing Bill Cosgrove. We're really looking forward to having that interview done. Lots of upcoming ones coming up this week. We'll be releasing the interview with Russ Anderson of TMS, talking about cash management. There's a lot you can do, saving money on cash management. And so check out the one released on July 12th. Big shout out to Adam DeSanctis, who you're here in just a minute. Les Parker, Matt Graham, who's dialed in. David Kittle's live here with us. Alice Alvey is live with us today. And Alan Pollock, who I'm sure will be joining in a little bit later. So good to have you all with us. Mark Helm will be later as well. Let's get started with this week's MBA mortgage update and what Adam DeSanctis has for us. Adam?
Hi, I'm Adam DeSanctis. This is the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, MBA submitted a joint comment letter with five other trade groups in response to the CFPB's policy statement summarizing past enforcement actions brought under their Unfair, Deceptive, or Abusive Acts or Practices, or UDAP, authority. While MBA believes it is important to clarify the scope and application of the prohibition on abusive practices, the current policy statement falls short of this goal. In particular, the Bureau fails to sufficiently differentiate between an abusive act or a practice and an unfair or deceptive act or practice, misstates the threshold for material interference, and does not align the policy statement with the Consumer Financial Protection Act and the Bureau's prior rulemaking and enforcement history. Though the statement became effective on April 12th of this year, the Bureau may revise it in response to comments. MBA will keep members informed of any updates on this matter. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Adam DeSanctis. Hopefully you guys are hearing me. Are you guys hearing me all right? I had to jump over to the over to my handset and to be able to get everything here because it was not working before. So I've got some issues going on. So are you guys hearing me all right?
So far, so good.
All right. That's good to hear. Sometimes technology works for us, and sometimes it doesn't. This is one of those days where going back to the old POTS phone system, plain old telephone system to get it to work. So apologize for breaking up there early on, everyone. Let's get over to Les Parker with the TM Spotlight. Les Parker, again, you can sign up for the TM Spotlight by going to lesparker@tmspotlight.com. Sign up and listen to what Les has and this macro view of the markets. Less.
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by Power Seller, making hedging easy.
Ooh. Ooh. Flush. Flush. Ah.
Finally, the Bears reached our 10-year yield target of 4.10. The Bears ended the secular bull market in 2022, and all bull comebacks crashed. With many central banks tightening over 400 basis points in less than a year, when will the reversal start? When it happens, expect a significant drop in the 10-year as constraining illiquidity pushes the world into a significant economic slowdown. As a result, expect more crazy moves.
Fed goes. Rock and roll.
These views are mine. Learn to roll with the rocking at tmspotlight.com.
Yeah, good job, Les Parker. Gary Cantabrone and Les teaming up. Love that music. Great message. And you can get it update every morning in your mailbox. Les works on it late in the night, comes up with music parodies every single day. And you can listen to him on tmspotlight.com or get that, or you can read it there or pay, get the paid version for free, and it'll be emailed to you like what I get every morning. I love this update, and you can put in the word power where it asks for a code. You get the paid version for free. Matt Graham is here with us. Matt, good to have you here, friend. Appreciate you dialing in. And well, how did you do on the 4th of July? Were you out on your farm enjoying Now, we were talking about that last week where you were not here. We were talking about in Texas, if you've got any amount of land, it's a ranch. If you're up there in the Pacific Northwest, it's as you are, it's a farm. So anyway, hope you had a good time on your farm or ranch or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah. We sold 500 pounds of blueberries that morning. So.
Wow.
Wow.
That is a good morning.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So Les raises the question of the year, and what we hope is not the question of the decade, which is when does everything turn around that got kicked off in 2022? And that was a topic that was front and center of many minds last week as economic data did yet another thing to suggest that the market is maybe a little bit flat-footed in its anticipation of what the economic data and inflation data is going to do. And the interestingly enough, the report that did the most damage last week was ADP employment, which is not a report that typically is a big market mover. It's one that a lot of people make fun of because it is supposed to correlate with non-farm payrolls, but on any given week where it comes out, it's not at all uncommon to see them do completely different things. So ADP came out just shy of 500,000 payrolls, which is huge in and of itself. And it was also hugely higher than expected because the expectation was down in the 200s. In fact, I'll just look it up real quick. 228K was the expectation, and it came in at 497. And 15 minutes later, jobless claims also came out in the 240s again, which is less than the 260s that sort of had concerned the market in recent weeks. And then another hour or so after that, ISM non-manufacturing came out quite strong. Even though the inflation component was lower, the business activity levels are looking like they used to before COVID. So all of these signs point to the risk of additionally strong economic data. And in last week's case, we had non-farm payrolls coming out the following morning. And so the market braced for impact from NFP, and NFP actually ended up coming in very close to forecast, but that really wasn't quite enough for the market or for bonds rates to rally in a resounding way. We might argue that they're doing a little bit of that now, but look, after you live through the last 15 years or so, saying that the 10-year Treasury yield rallied down to anything that starts with a 4 is really sort of not the kind of dessert that you're hoping to eat, even if you call it dessert. So it's a big rally relative to where we were on Friday afternoon, but it's the crappy levels in the bigger picture. And these levels are the ones that people are afraid about, and the data that underlies these moves is the type of data people are afraid about. Will inflation prove to be puzzlingly persistent? Will economic data prove to be puzzlingly resilient? To that end, this week is incredibly important and interesting, as is any week where the CPI report is released. That's, I would say Wednesday is when the week starts, because we get CPI 8:30 a.m. Wednesday morning, and that's the next big shoe to drop in all of this drama, where we're watching the economic and inflation data unfold. Mortgage rates easily up and over 7% if we're not doing silly things like some big picture indices do and totally disregard the presence of points, because points are a thing right now in loan quotes. When, you know, 1 point buys more than 0.5% in rate, and when loan officers are relishing any opportunity to quote something under 7%, you can bet that using points is a good way to do that. Regardless of one's own personal feelings about when you might break even on that upfront expenditure, it's just marketing. So if we factor out the impact of points, then yeah, easily well into the 7% range. 10-year yields, of course, around 4, slightly higher. And the market betting almost 100% certainty of a Fed rate hike in July. Fed speakers talking about, hey, probably about 2 more hikes, could be more, could be less, depending on what the data does. And I keep going back to what Powell said at the testimony a couple weeks ago, where he was asked to specify what the economy evolving as expected looked like, and because that was his contingency for 2 more hikes, and it was a little bit downbeat, you know, saying if the labor market continues to economic growth continues to be modest, then we're going to hike two more times. And one might argue that some of the recent data is a little bit stronger than those benchmarks that he was hoping to clear, or that he stipulated, not necessarily hoping for one thing or another. So really, Dave, I'm just waiting for CPI, as is the rest of the market. And once that happens, then we'll be able to assess what the next move might look like. But just the one CPI report single-handedly isn't going to change much. It could certainly give us a push in one direction or the other, but it's going to take months of a cohesive message coming out in the economic data to shift the trend, accelerate the trend, or cause the trend to reconsider its current unpleasant direction.
Very unpleasant. Yeah, it's got a lot of people really frustrated with what to do, and I think we're going to get some of that thought reflection on that from Mr. Kittle here in just a minute. But anyway, thanks so much. I know you're a busy guy and have to run. What is the board? One of the things I love about MBS Quote Line is the feedback you get on
MBS Live too. Is good site also.
Did I say MBS? What did I say? MBS Live.
MBS Quote Line was on the show for a long time.
That was the old one. Yeah. No, it's MBS Live. I love the chatter that's on there. What is the attitudes going on currently? What's the general feeling of what you're hearing out there? I love gauging.
What is the sound of like? What is the sound of? No, that'd be a little bit too dark. The feeling is not good. It's not, not good. I think people are really chomping at the bit to get a little bit of relief in rates.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of resignation right now as to, you know, this is going to be this way forever kind of thing. But that tends to be people that chat on MBS Live, you know, can be a little bit. They go with the trend, if you will. So when things
David,
are bad, they see bad things.
Question?
When things are good, they see good things.
Yeah, yes. Mr. Kittle,
David,
ask a question.
Yeah, just a quick question. In the payroll numbers that you just gave, the 400,000, is that all private sector or is any of that government?
ADP, you know, that's a good question. I don't know if ADP is the payroll processor for any government jobs, but all I know is it is the payrolls that ADP actually handles themselves.
Yeah. And I don't think
here's why I say that, because I heard a report Friday when the numbers came out last Friday. I heard Larry Kudlow, whether you like him or not, say a lot of the jobs that were created were government jobs. So payroll jobs, just asking, you know, government produces nothing. It's overhead. And I just wondered if that's included. And I would like to know if you could research that and maybe get back next week.
Yeah, in fact, hold on. I can look it up right now really quick.
That's great.
And
that's a good data point.
As far as the private payroll portion of non-farm payrolls, it was 148 of the 200-ish.
Okay. Well, that's good. I had heard that at least this was a few years back, someone raised the question, is how much is the payroll numbers, ADP payroll numbers, coming reflected with government growth. And back then, it wasn't as much, but maybe that's always subject to change. So in this case,
it tends to fluctuate, you know, quite a bit. And at times, government payrolls have detracted from NFP when NFP has remained strong. So,
good. Well, good question, Mr. Kittle.
Thank you.
I know exactly where you're going with that. We'll get you some of your thoughts on that in just a minute. Anything else you want to add, Matt, before you have to run off?
Nope. I'm good.
All right.
I mean, as good as anybody can be, considering the circumstances.
Well, I know. I mean, you're the bearer of all the bad news right now through your report, but your website's so good. MBS Live, not that other one. MBSLive.net does a great job. Been with us now so long, I should get that one right, but I guess I do default back every once in a while to that other company. But did a great job. I mean, he did a great job when he was with us for a good number of years. But, Matt, you're doing such a good job. I love what you're doing on the website with all the content. Information. There is nothing like it, bud. Appreciate you.
Thanks, sir.
You bet. Get signed up, everybody. If you're not already signed up, sign up with mbslive.net, and you will have one of the best services out there. One of the best. It's the best. So sign up. And you get to put in LOL, you get a for the sign-up code, and you'll get an extended trial period without the need of putting in a credit card. So get signed up. It's something you can't afford not to have in your arsenal of how to communicate out with the borrowers that you're working with or realtors, builders. All right, Matt, have a great week. Thank you for dialing in. I know how busy you are, and appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Dave.
You bet. Mr. Kittle, you got some. That was a good question, because when you look at the payroll numbers, you look at the growth of the government, especially within the IRS alone, it's staggering. And when is that going to change? It does have an impact on that. So anyway, good to have you here with us, Mr. Kittle. And
thank
the
you,
listeners,
Dave.
He would say, and we dialed and I said, hey, it's Kittle. And he goes, it's Mr. Kittle to you. So we're going to you're such a good friend. You're such a good friend. I appreciate you so much, David. So your perspective, what is TMC seeing out there as far as production and members doing well? You guys are continuing to grow in membership. That's some good news with TMC.
Yeah, you know, look, membership's up as far as the lender side, and we're adding a couple of preferred partners. We're going to launch some seminars on a really good on a white label we're doing internally on a secondary platform here in the next couple of weeks. Be excited to say that towards the end of the month.
Good.
Somebody new we're bringing on for our members to be able to trade MSRs individually. And
well, excited. I'm really excited about Melissa Langdale coming on. She is really someone that's really exciting to talk to. And it gives you hope for the future when we look at the upcoming leadership like Melissa.
Yeah, big win for us. And she's settling in, doing great things for us. So happy to have her. But I was interested in, I quote MBA when I can. And you look at their chart today, and I thought it's positive news that you got residential construction spending up for the first time in like a year and a half, almost 2 years. Not a lot, but it's ticking the right way. And even with interest rates we just heard are up, from what I'm hearing out there, people, whether they like it or not, are settled into what the rates are. And I was talking to Alice, we both were before we came on, you know, and she made a great point. If you're in a company that has a positive outlook and you're growing, acquiring loan officers or acquiring other companies, then right now you're doing okay. You're not losing money. You're almost making money. And production can be up. So I think it's all about attitude and settling in. You know, I predicted on this show, I guess a year and a half ago, that at some point as rates rose that we would get into an arm market. And that's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you think rates are going to settle back at some point, go sell the adjustable rate mortgage. You could always refinance out of it. If rates fall. So I would get a relationship with a local bank, a local lender, or somebody, and go back and learn what an index and a margin is, and learn how to sell an adjustable rate mortgage, and start selling 3 and 5 year arms.
Yes. Yep. It's a product everyone needs to get back into. Attitude is everything. That's what Bill, we were talking, the interview that we did with David Hopper with Leader One, is he talked about the mindset that it's just so necessary to have. That came also when we were doing the pre-interview, we were getting on to talking with Bill Cosgrove. I mean, just it's so much about leadership, and I ask anyone who is a leader that's listening to this podcast, how are you leading right now? And, you know, surround yourself with people that don't ignore the facts but are looking at it in a way that is bringing about hope and challenging them to grow and get out and do things. I'm really excited about some of the interviews we got coming up, Mr. Kittle. We've got some good ones coming up. People that are making money in this time, making money and actually growing volume.
A house someplace, aren't they, dude?
Yeah, and what is it? It's going to be around a $1.5 trillion market. Granted, it's off from the ridiculous highs that we had, but, I mean, still, $1.5 to $2 trillion this year is what we're going to be doing. That's a lot of volume. And granted, it's way off for our overall industry capacity. We don't ignore the facts here. But what we look at and who we're bringing on the future interviews are those that are finding the opportunities in this current market. And you're always talking about those, Mr. Kittle, and I appreciate you being here.
You're welcome.
Glad to be here. You bet. Let us get over to, by the way, if you want to email Mr. Kittle, you can do so. David, or you, it's D. Kittle. Well, we should use your TM. I was going to give your TMS email address, but what is your? I don't have your email written down here, right? Collaborative email.
D. Kittle at mtgcoop.com.
Yeah, good, very good. Thank you, David. Appreciate it much. Alice Alvey is here, and she is CMB Vice President of Education and Training at the outstanding company Union Home Mortgage. And I am excited to get this week's legislative update. Alice, what do you have for us?
Well, today, Dave, I wanted to elaborate a little bit on what was in the MBA news link that Adam reported on earlier, and that is this joint trades response to the CFPB policy statement on abusive acts or practices, because it's absolutely amazing in UDAP. So the Uniform Unfair, Deceptive, or Abusive Acts or Practices, so UDAP regulation, it's really crazy in that how many just adjectives and adverbs are just thrown around, right? You can't be abusive. You can't be unfair and deceptive. And there really has to be solid explanations for what each one of those mean. And this joint comment letter, I thought, did an excellent job of pointing out the areas that the CFPB has not provided enough detail for lenders to know what does this mean and what do I have to make sure I'm doing. So for those of you who don't have to deal with this, I always tell folks, this goes all the way down to how the loan officer communicates with the borrower. Everything you do from that point, the rest of the loan process can fall under, if you make a lot of mistakes, you don't have clear disclosures on what your services and products you're providing, it could be turned into a case under UDAP. And what we look at today typically is that you go from unfair and deceptive, and then abusive is another level. You know, it would escalate to being abusive, which would mean fines and penalties, and any type of corrective actions would be much tougher. So in this, I think they do a great job of really pushing CFPB that you have to differentiate between the two in a meaningful way that lenders can apply it in the market. If you think, too, about what is considered material, that should be something the borrower has to prove, or the agency would have to see enough information that there was actual proof of a material problem that occurred or a material impact to a consumer, like you would if you were going to sue someone, right, that you actually had to prove you had a financial loss or there was an actual harm. I think that so things like that are critical in making sure that as lenders we know how to make sure we apply this. And they also make a great case for how to spell out examples. There are cases that CFPB has already pushed out there that we could use for examples. And this statement that they put out that went into effect, by the way, back at the beginning of April, doesn't highlight or even line up with those statements. So I do think for those of you in the compliance world, this is something to watch closely so that we as lenders can make sure we're doing the right things. We all want to do the right things. We have a vision of what this act was designed for, right? Let's not have another meltdown of 2008, right? Let's not do that again. Well, we're all in agreement, but now you have to try and describe what that would really look like and when it would be considered abusive. So we're watching this one closely, and we'll keep you posted. So that's one thing. And then just as a side note, there is no movement yet on the Trigger Leads House bill that's out there. So for those of you who want to watch this one closely, it's H.R. 4198 that was introduced back in June, and we will keep watching that for you. No movement yet. It's summer. We don't expect a lot of movement yet, so we'll watch it over the next couple of months and see what happens. But that's my report for today, Dave. Back
very
to
good.
You.
Very, very good. Thank you, Alice, very much. Appreciate it. Yeah, the UDAP penalties can get fairly substantial when it gets over into the egregious area, but they have not provided good leadership or good amount of information. I remember those old words, Alice, that Richard Cordray says, yeah, we're going to sort through that through enforcement action or litigation. We'll bring clarity by watching that kind of activity. I think those days, we're not at that level. They've done better, but they still have a long ways to go as far as providing direction.
and clarity.
Yes, I agree. And they didn't really go through this in the traditional process, so that's another thing the comment letter urges, is to go back to getting public comment. So they could definitely make revisions, and I think this letter is a great start. Also for lenders, if you're someone who's new to this level of compliance, this letter really gives you some good background on, how are these things interpreted and what should I be watching out for?
Yeah. It can sometimes create a little concern because it creates more questions than answers, but stay tuned. So very good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alice. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
Mark Helm dialed in. Good to have you with us, Mark. Glad you could make it in for the podcast. I just noticed that you were here, so I wanted to get your feedback on anything at this point.
Yes, I'd like to add one little thing in there. I want to ask the question up front to Mr. Kittle. Are David and I the only two that call you Mr. Kittle in the industry?
The only two. That's because I
the only two required. Yeah, that's so funny.
It's due to respect. I want to tell you that.
Yeah,
the other you can't put on the show.
Yeah, I wanted to throw something out there for you folks on the phone to consider right now. I've been working quite some time, and it's finally gotten some traction on some detailed modeling that you run against all the loans you originate and all the loans you acquire, maybe run them before you acquire them to determine if you're going to acquire them. And between forward and reverse mortgages, I got about 40 characteristics I look at. There's a soft run I can do and a hard run. The soft run is based on just the information you gather during the origination process on your system. The hard run is things like, have these people ever been delinquent on their property taxes on their home, or have there ever been criminals, have been arrested, and all this stuff. So we can do as much detail as possible. And I've had two bites in the last week of people I've talked to over the years as I've been developing this. I've been working on it in nearly 2 years because it's a changing model. And two people have finally signed up to use it. And I will turn it over to my partner in crime at our technology company to go ahead and put it in a more meaningful model for me in technology. But effectively, one of the questions that came up today about ARM loans got me intrigued, because do you buy an ARM loan, do you not buy or originate, if you originate an ARM loan, do you keep it or sell it, or do you, if you're a buyer, do you buy it considering the fact that somebody's going to refi possibly when the fixed rate mortgages go down? So you look at it and you assess it and say, well, they usually do go down, and we need to look at that, but are they going to go down in the foreseeable future? And what kind of consumer direct model do I have on board at my company that I think I can salvage those loans? So if you originate the loan, you hope your loan officers will be on top and they'll refinance it. But if you bought that loan, you didn't originate, the question is, do you really want that ARM loan to save your portfolio? Sell it off. So that's something I think people need to look at. Another thing folks need to look at right now is, we talked about this a little bit on the call, interest rates, things are loosening up a little bit, but interest rates are high. And higher interest rates always breed a higher level of delinquency. So one aspect you might want to look at, you might want to be buying ARM loans because they're a little bit lower interest rate, even if you've got to fight to keep the loan down the road somewhere because, the higher delinquency rate. If you remember what the last time we had a high rate cycle, it spurred a new ongoing delinquency. We've really had wonderful delinquencies most of the last 2 years, and now I think they're going to sprout a little bit again because of the higher interest rate loans coming on board and people really signing up for things that were borderline for them to do. So I'd appreciate anybody that can talk up that product, because I think it's going to be very valuable. It's kind of a confidential product because I don't think most people want to know people they're using that to do forensic investigation of the loans they either originate or their loans are getting ready to buy to make a decision whether they want them. But I think it's going to make a material difference, and it's a very sophisticated model. And I think for the small mortgage bankers that don't know what they're getting into and to build a portfolio, they need it more than anybody else because they can't make it up with numbers. So we'll see how that goes, and I'll keep you abreast of what happens with these people I'm working with. But I think it's something that finally people are starting to realize has some value.
Yeah, please keep us informed. Mark, appreciate it as that gets utilized. Good. We've got Alan Pollock dialed in. Alan, good to have you here, friend. Glad you made it.
Great to be here. Yes, yeah, sir. So
the world of technology, my goodness sakes, it is fast evolving at such an amazing rate. So what exciting things do you have for us today, my friend?
Oh, man. Well, one of the new projects I'm working on, as of today, I can officially disclose, I am the COO of a company called Candid, C-A-N-D-I-D, and they are a CRM and customer engagement platform. So definitely I'll share more as I learn more, but super excited about that, and I've got some other stuff going on too.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you, sir. Super excited to help another tech company do some great things. So a couple things in the news. I said that each week I'd bring something on the side of AI. So get this one, David. Todd AI, all right, it's a panel of humanoid robots. They took reporters' questions at a United Nations AI conference. So if you heard that wrong, let me repeat it. A number of humanoid robots took reporters' questions at a United Nations AI conference. And they were asked whether AI would rebel against its creator. One robot responded, "I am very happy with my current situation." So the conclusion is humanity is safe. No need to worry. So very interesting. You can Google that if you want to learn more. T-O-D-A-I, Todd AI. David, TikTok.
T-O-D-A-I. So okay, I put in, spell it traditionally. So I was just in there doing that as you were doing. So it's T-O-D. Okay.
Yep. Singularly, T-O-D-A-I.
Good. Very good.
So let's switch over to the term TikTok. We've talked about it. We've talked about how a lot of people, and obviously there's more rules in mortgage than anything else, people have advertised on TikTok, either to buy their swag from their mortgage company, or two, it's been to, you know, help people understand education, right? So get this, TikTok and Amazon are both marching headfirst towards an e-commerce duel for the ages, all right? So they're gearing towards millennials and Gen Zers. As Amazon dabbles with TikTok-inspired feed of shoppable videos, so what I just said is Amazon is now modifying the way that you view their product into a feed type of environment or experience. Hmm. TikTok and even Instagram Reels and Facebook videos, even YouTube's doing it now, right? So now Amazon's going to be doing it. Well, get this, TikTok is rapidly, so while Amazon's trying that, TikTok is rapidly building out a shopping capability across the platform. Today, their gross merchandise value across TikTok is forecasted to be $20 billion this year.
Wow.
That's crazy. Because I've never bought anything off of TikTok, and you haven't either.
No.
So the reason I mention this and why it's connected to mortgage is because a lot of people are looking at how to get out in front of those millennials and Gen Zers. TikTok is going to continue to be popular, and it's going to continue to be one of those ways. So a very interesting tidbit about how technology is.
Yeah, but there's so many security concerns about TikTok. I mean, you listen to that, you listen to some of the security. I agree with you. I was at a meeting this last week and on another product, and they're having outstanding success working with TikTok. And I'm going, it's like Twitter when it came out. How can you, 140 characters, the limitations on that. But I get TikTok. It can be addictive in how it the algorithms select what you should see or that appeals to you. And you can get wrapped up in doing, it's amazing what it can do. But there's enough security concerns. I mean, Elon Musk has come out and said things. The different administrators have come out and said, government officials says, that's a scary one because of where it's based out of, China.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, well, the TikTok we see and view, everything's in the United States. I'm not in support of TikTok, but here's what I will tell you. You and I are not the same mindset as the millennials and Gen Zers. They don't really care about any of this conversation.
Surprise, surprise.
Their brains are wired into this technology, and it's all day long. And so if we're going to get in front and educate the next type of folks that are going to be buying homes or part of these transactions, that's going to be an area we're going to need to stay abreast of. So interesting feedback, but TikTok is continuing to grow for right now. for right now.
Yep.
So,
yep.
David, let's talk about one more thing that's really interesting. Actually, I'm going to save this one for next week. I'm going to get into deeper mortgage news. So remind me next week to talk about driverless cars.
Okay.
We'll do so. So, ChatGPT, did you know that borrowers are officially, potential borrowers, consumers, are officially using ChatGPT? And these are the things that they are talking to ChatGPT about. Personalized recommendations. So after you speak to ChatGPT, and there are people that have made prompts out there for all types of financial help, including mortgages, you say, hey, ask me 10 questions about my preferences or however you do it. You even can tell it ranges of income and different things, and it will give you personalized recommendations. It will compare mortgage offers for you. So you can paste or tell it data about what you are receiving as far as offers, and it will include any other information it knows about you, giving you budgeting and financial planning advice. It'll give you comparisons of payment calculations.
Really?
You can ask it, like David Kittle was saying, 3- and 5-year ARMs. You can ask it the difference between them. You can ask it when your PMI could be paid off. You can ask it about government programs. You also can use it to write letters to your lenders for various stages in the process. So if your lender says, hey, I need a gift letter, you can have ChatGPT write that. And I'm not making this stuff up, Dave. This is stuff that people are currently doing with ChatGPT. So what we will see is not only a continuance of this and growth, but we're going to see people building ChatGPT into their systems and platforms to provide the same level of service, except you know what? They're not going to have to program and write all this code that we've had to do all in the past, because this machine learning platform already has all that built in.
Wow.
You can plug into it. So there's a much different perspective of building something new with a ChatGPT-enabled bot rather than the older bots where you had to tell it what you wanted to do. This already knows.
Alex, when you listen to this, what starts leaping up? I mean, I know you're Vice President of Training there, but I mean, is there any concerns when it comes to a regulatory standpoint? You comment on that a lot. Any thoughts, Alice?
Well, I think we also have to see how lenders are going to apply it. And as you look at ways to apply it, I think their first choices are going to be to steer clear of anything that could step on regulations or be something that we're unsure of, because the regulators have made no comments about this. So, for example, we're looking at how can it benefit us in training? You know, how can it benefit us in ways to be more efficient behind the scenes as opposed to being out in front customer facing yet?
Okay. Good point. Good point. It's interesting, though, Alan, that it is being used in these new and ever innovative ways. It's just fascinating to me.
Correct.
Fascinating. And Mark, I mean, you listened to this. I mean, we picked up, you've used ChatGPT so much. I do too, but it's just really interesting.
Yep. And you know, I'm using ChatGPT for so much stuff now, just outlines for things and other things that keep you pointed in the right direction and keep you on track. It's a really good research vehicle, much, much better research vehicle than Google is. You know, Google was always our go-to, but now the only thing I suggest everybody do, you need to fact check everything you get, because I think some of the information out on ChatGPT is not exactly right on par.
Yep, good point.
That is very much true.
So, Alan, what other good things do you have?
That's all I'm going to share today, David.
Okay.
People are embedding ChatGPT into their systems. If you want to test something out or you have an idea or you're interested, reach out to David or I at TMS Advisors, and we'd be happy to chat with you.
Yeah, very good. Well, congratulations on working with Garrett Locklear over there at Candid. Very excited about that. I'm actually the one that put the two together, so I'm very excited about them or your participation there. So I think this is going to be a great combination. There's a lot of exciting new companies coming up, tech companies coming up, and I think what's good about that, it keeps the ones like Total Expert really on the cutting edge. They're a good distance out ahead, and they're what they're doing, but it's really fun to see some of these new ones coming up. And I got to tell you, what Garrett has built, while being a top loan originator out there running his own production company, he is out there and building technology, and I think it's these kind of things that make gets me to wave the American flag. It makes us so proud to be Americans. There's always new ways we can go about things, and keeps us all on our toes. It's good stuff. Well, looking for good things for you and our friends there at Candid. Appreciate you being
Thank
here
you.
Each and every week, Brent. Congratulations. All right, folks, that wraps up this week's podcast. Mark, do you have anything you want to add as we go exit out of here?
No, sir. It's another very informative podcast. And
yeah,
as long as I keep learning, man, we need to keep doing this.
We will. Well, at the rate things are developing, Mark, we're going to be here for learning away. We've both been at this for a few years, as is Alice, and it's a good number of years. And the bottom line is things are moving so quickly. I have a call next week, or tomorrow, excuse me, this week, tomorrow, with an individual who exited the industry for about 10 years, and he's calling me and saying, Dave, I'm thinking about coming back into the industry. And I said, good luck. It's going to be a big hill to climb to get up to speed on all that's going on. It's just crazy. Well, folks, that wraps up this week's podcast. Be sure to check out all of our sponsors on our website. We appreciate each and every one of them. Again, Candor Technology, Finastra, Total Expert, Byte Software, our newest sponsor. Grateful to have them as a sponsor. Simple Nexus, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, also known as TMC, as Mr. Kittle's company, as well as KnowledgeCoop, Mobility, MMI, Modix, and Mortgage Advisory Tools. Folks, check out all of our sponsors and links to their products on our website, LickinOnLending.com. Appreciate you being here with us. Tell others about the podcast. That's how we've continued to grow to the level that we have with all the downloads. Appreciate you all. Have a great week, everyone. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.